Hey, it's Jeff and Jeremy from the Ultra Running Guys. And if you're here, you probably already know that we started this podcast to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey.
But what you may not know is that in addition to this podcast, we also host two live races in the Wilmington, North Carolina area that are designed to do the same.
Yep, the first is the Hydra, which takes place on April 20th and has a 50K individual, a 50K relay, and a half marathon option. Whatever option you choose, we promise that slaying the Hydra will be unlike any race that you've ever experienced.
And the second is the Final Countdown, which takes place on September 14th. And whether you've never run before or you're a hardcore ultra veteran, this race is designed to help you find your limits. And we will be there with you to help celebrate.
All right, so mark your calendars, share with your friends, and visit us at our website, theultrarunningguys.com, or check out the links in the show notes for more info.
And with that, enjoy the episode, and remember, when in doubt, just show up. And welcome back to the Ultra Running Guys. You got Jeremy Reynolds and Jeff Winchester of the Ultra Running Guys. And the reason that we're here is to help you take your next step in your ultra running journey. If it is your first time, welcome. We appreciate you. And if you're coming back, you know your family. But one of the big things about figuring out what your next step is figuring out what you're going to put on the race calendar. So a while back, we started these race spotlight episodes and the feedback has been fantastic. And so tell us what we're getting into tonight.
So I'm just laughing amongst myself right now. All right. So for today's race spotlight, we are heading to Memphis, Tennessee. And when you hear the race director's voice, you are going to know we are definitely in Tennessee. Great man. James Bowler is the race director. We're going to meet him in just a minute. But before we do, let me tell you a little about the Mamba 100. This is a race that's run mostly on single track with minimal elevation gain, which I believe should make for a relatively faster run for most of those looking for 100-mile distance. The course is a looped course, with each loop being 14.3 miles. And so for those of you who are trying to do that, you know, trail math, mental math here, that's really, you just need to do seven loops. Just keep that in mind. Seven loops, 14.3 miles per loop, and you're back. All right, so to top it all off, the runners have 34 hours to complete the distance, which is a pretty healthy cutoff time for a flatter 100. And it sets us up to be a good race for those that are looking to tackle their first 100 miler. So I have rambled enough. I've stumbled enough. Let's please welcome to the show, the race director, James Bowler of the Mamba 100.
Hey guys, I appreciate you guys having me on. And definitely looking forward to talking more about the Mamba 100 in Memphis coming up on November the 8th and 9th of this year.
Fantastic. Well, look, there's a lot we want to talk about. You've got some unique things that we're going to talk about. We're going to give runners, if they're, you know, looking into, okay, what do I need to know? We're going to give them all that good information. One of the questions we like to ask, and this is your second year doing this race, what is your favorite thing about the Mamba 100 as the race director?
Well, I'm going to tell you the favorite thing about the Mamba 100 is the people. And That may be a typical answer, but I'm telling you, I focus this race 100% on the runners, because if it wasn't for the runners, we would never have a race. And I am, and so coming from Memphis, Tennessee, we have a ton of local races. There's several 5Ks every weekend, 10K, you know, all kinds of, but we never had a 100 miler. And Memphis is such a good running community. I just knew in the back of my head, I was like, we could really do a 100 miler here, and we got the perfect trails. So the favorite thing about the Mamba 100 is I just didn't want to put on another local race. I wanted to build a community that is nationwide. So and right now we have 32 states, including Canada, that are coming to run Mamba just this year. Last year we had 26 states. And I would love to get 35, even, you know, 38 states. So that really just sets it off that not only are we're just building a community of people that are coming in from all over the country. And that really means so much to me, because they're coming to Memphis, they're coming to run 100 miles. And most of them, it's their first time at this distance. And it's that's probably the most important thing about the 100 miler are the people. And I just want to make sure the runners, I just want to make sure that each one of them feel included and they feel special and they feel important. And they also know that they can do the race. Yeah. Like you said, 34 hours is the cutoff for a 100 miler. You can walk a lot of the course and still finish. but you just got to keep moving. You got to keep, you know, you can't spend a lot of time at aid stations, as long as you just keep moving. And so that's kind of what I do as a race director is when they come in, and me being a runner myself, ran several hundred miles, I know what's going on when they come in at 2 a.m. and they're like, I'm ready, I'm done. I'm like, no, you're not. You just need to go sit down. You're hitting the wall. So I can see all that. And I'm really trying to build up a relationship with the runner. I try to get to know them by name, every one of them. Oh, right now we got just under 300 runners. And I really try to make it a mission to know as many as I can by name when they get to the race, so that they know, they feel, you know, so they just don't sign up for the Mamba 100, run the race, and then that's it. You know, I try to make it more personal for them because it's a 100 miles an emotional experience. It really is. I mean, gosh, I was in tears when I ran my first one. And I mean, y'all probably have too. So that's kind of what it's probably the runners.
Yeah.
So.
I like that a lot. I think it's a great answer. Yeah. It's also something though that I think we would be remiss to not point this out. So the Mamba 100, when we first heard about this race, it's crazy because it's only because I'd heard about it from a listener who referenced that we should check out this race. And what's crazy about it is I'd never heard of it. It's only been around for one other year before this year. Mm-hmm. However, you're on the verge of selling it out. You mentioned you already have 300 runners, which I know that's across some other distances as well. But in the 100-mile race alone, you have over 127 at the time of this recording that have currently mm-hmm. registered for the race, and you're very close to selling it out. So it begs the question for somebody who has just launched this race as a race director, what do you think or why do you think it is so popular so fast?
Well, and I guess... don't really want to brag on myself a little bit, but I guess that's kind of what I have to do. I basically worked on it all year last year. So I have a full-time job. I'm married with kids, two girls. They're both in elementary school, competitive sports. So my time is very, very limited. So and I'm also a runner. I run 100 miles. I ran a 200 miler last year, Cowboy 200. So not only, I guess, in my free time that I had, what a little bit I had, I really worked on this race all year long. So I opened up registration last year on St. Patrick's Day. I believe it was like March 17th. And then we had 286 runners in a race November of last year. And I basically worked on it from March all the way to race day every day. I think I spent a whole month riding my bike on the trails of where the race course was, just trying to get the exact perfect loop. Like if I was as a runner, I know what runners want. I know what they want to experience. And I was really just trying to dial it down because the race course that we're running on, the Wolf River Trails, you can go many different ways. It could have been a 20 mile loop. Mm-hmm. I could have done 5 20 mile loops, but I did 14.3 because I believe that's just long enough for a runner to go out, run 14.3 miles, and then they come back to their personal aid station. They're not out there very long, but yet they're out there long enough. And a 20-mile loop, you're kind of getting up there, being out there, you know, 5 6 hours sometimes for runners before they come back to their personal aid station. So 14.3, there's no magic number in that. I just thought that was a really good number for runners. And I worked on it all year long. I'm huge on social media. I created a private Facebook group called the Mamba Trail Runners. I probably posted in there 4 or 5 times a day. You know, just I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, working on YouTube, and just really drumming up the support. Mm. I think every time I got like 50 runners, I would make like a Instagram reel with their faces. And so what I do is I just take a screenshot of their face from their public Facebook page and just put their name, put their faces out there. Hey, here's our first 50 runners, and just put some music behind it and just really make runners feel good. And not only that, but feel appreciated that they're coming to run the Mamba 100, and just let them know that, they just didn't sign up for a race. They signed up and now we're going to help them get to the finish line. So I did a lot of extra things, that I've learned from running that I think if I was running this race, what would I want? You know, So there was just a lot of extra things that I added in.
It's funny. So right before this, we looked and we saw the first 100 faces for 2024, and we recognized Mike Smith.
Yeah, there, Mike's wonderful.
Who we just ran into at Umstead. Yeah, recognized that green Umstead shirt anywhere that he wears around. But so not only that, so you mentioned the Mama Trail Runners, you're obviously big on community, but you've got a couple other unique aspects. So we're going to get into the logistics of this race. I want to make sure tactically runners kind of understand, right? But let's talk about a couple things that set this race apart. You've got this year, $2,000 in cash prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear that, I go, oh, well, that doesn't matter because I'm slower. So what does that matter? Right. But tell us about cash prizes and why does that matter to everybody that's listening?
All right. So like you said, I want to make every runner feel appreciated. That's my number one goal. Even the slowest of the slowest, you know, I'm never going to go, I'm a medium pack runner. I'm never going to go run a race, and I never will. So if I was going to go run a race that had a cash prize, I would never get that because it's just not going to happen. I mean, I'm not there. So I kind of did like, I kind of reversed it. So what I did is I give out $2,000, total. So I give to 5 registered runners. All you gotta do is register for the race. So one runner is going to win $1,000. Another runner is going to win $500. Another runner is going to win $300. And then 2 runners will win $100 each. And what I'll do is we have a pre-race dinner on November 7th, the day before the race actually starts. I will give out, it's really just a drawing. So I will give out that cash. So someone's literally going to win $1,000 just for registering for the race. And they can go out and run the 100 miler and finish dead last, but they just won 100 miles. They just won $1,000. So I just didn't want to give cash out to the winners because there's several races out there that do that. And you pretty much already know who's going to win races, or at least the top 3. But I just thought it would be really nice to give money out to just for registering for the race. Just show, hey, here you go. Now go enjoy your race, go have fun. So I think the 5 people that won it last year, well, the top guy who won the money, I didn't know this, but he was from Nashville, but he had a charity organization. So I'm like, man, this is great. He probably donated it to it, you know? So, so it's just something fun I want to do, to make, so if you register for the race, you're automatically in a drawing to win. Hey, the top prize is $1,000, or you got five chances to win money.
I think, James, what you should do is you should tell them at the pre-race dinner when they get this and they win that if they DNF, they have to give it back.
Yeah, it could be. So I don't really care what they do with the money after they win it. They want it. I mean, it's
just imagine if you got $1,000 and you feel like quitting.
Right. And you're like, at least I got $1,000.
I know.
That'd be the easy thing.
But I got to give it back because I do enough. So I don't get to collect it until I cross the finish line.
Right.
I have thought
about that. I was like, hey, I'll give you your money after you complete your race. So it's crossed like my bait and
switch, but yet it's pretty good.
What's that?
It feels like bait and switch, but yet it's pretty good.
Oh, right.
It is.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to finish.
We'll see. So
one other thing I want to point out, that you guys offer, I think this is a little bit unique, and I actually searched for it on the page, but you sent us the information. So when somebody registers for the race, you actually, as an add-on, I believe, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, is you've got a run/cross-train program that you offer that they can opt into. That so now somebody signs in for a race, and if they want the coaching, you and your run partner can provide that, which is pretty unique. And I would imagine it's going to be specifically for how to be successful at the Mama 100.
Yeah, definitely. So go back on to, I've ran several races and 100 milers, and now I love all races across the country, and I'm not knocking anybody, but yeah, you sign up for a race and then you don't hear from anything until you actually get to the race. And it's like, okay, well, I'm on my own for the training unless I hire a coach. So what we're trying to do is I'm actually a certified personal trainer as well. And my run partner is a certified run coach. So with Bandit Coaching. So what we do is when a runner signs up for the Mamba 100, we'll reach out to them and let them know, hey, thank you so much for registering for the race. Would you be interested in a cross training program or a run program or a cross train and run program? So what we'll do, and if they say yes, then we'll, what we'll do is we'll make them a plan based on where they're at in their running, and it will get them all the way to the Mamba, whichever distance they're running, whether the 100 mile or 100K, 50K or 25K. So we just want to, we didn't want to just let them sign up for the race and then just leave them on their own and see when they get to the Mamba 100. We wanted to do something to help them finish the race as well. So that's just another little extra add-on that we provide. And we actually just started that about a month and a half ago. It's brand new. And we're doing quite well with it. There's a lot of runners out there who want the training. Because like I said, we have a lot of first-time 100 milers and 100K runners. And I feel like, you know, they signed up, they want to do this distance, and I'm so glad that they do, but they, and we want to help them get there. Mm-hmm. And as runners, I kind of know how to get them there. And so that's what we want to provide for them.
I love it. I think it's such a great option for somebody that wants to help, and it can be overwhelming, especially for first time. Right. But not only that, I mean, you guys literally, you put the course together. Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a plan to get through this race, and so speaking of, let's transition to the course itself, the race itself. And so I talked about in the intro, 14.3 mile loops. And for anybody listening, you can go on, you have a video out there. It's kind of a course preview, mm-hmm. right? Where it shows the different right. aspects. We do a couple races at Mountain Bike Trail Park. And to me, it looked very similar, single track, fairly flat. One of the things I noticed from the site, no rocks, so people don't need gators, which is right. awesome. Mm-hmm. Probably still have plenty of roots to trip on. But what do you think? I'm interested though. What do you think people may underestimate about the course, given kind of everything we've talked about?
So kind of some of the feedback I got last year is, and like you said, you can run this whole 100 mile in road shoes. Mm-hmm. There are some routes, but there's not. There it's not much roots at all. You can fly through this course. But I think what they underestimate is the flatness of the course and how hard that can be. I heard from some of the top runners last year, they said that was the hardest 100 miler I did because I didn't have a chance to breathe. Like they ran the whole time, you know, whereas if you get a race that has a lot of elevation, well, at least you can walk up the hill, you know, you can walk up the mountain or whatever and just kind of get a breath. Whereas the Mamba 100, it's, you can run the whole entire course without stopping. And so that's, I think that's what, and there is a little bit of elevation. I mean, it's less than 1,000 feet, but what it is there's these little bitty dips that goes down in creeks and little bridges. And I believe there's probably, I don't know, maybe, 7 or 8 of them in the 14.3 mile loop. It's just enough to kind of change up the flatness a little bit. But it's really flat. It's very runnable. And someone who is experienced in 100 milers, it may be pretty tough on them because like you said, you know, you'll come in and you feel like you don't have a chance to breathe because you've been running so much. So
just a quick follow on, how do you recommend that somebody prepare for that based off of that?
I think to prepare for that is obviously do back-to-back long runs on weekends, and in practice in some power hiking, fast walking, because you can, you know, just, it's really just to keep moving. You can run a lot of it and you can run as far as you can, but then also practice walking and try to fast walking because you can gain a lot of ground and knock off a lot of time if you just keep moving. That's the main thing. That's what I would tell any runner, like, hey, run as long as you can, and it's okay to walk. You know, I walk every 100 miler I do. I mean, a lot. So but it's really just keep moving.
Right. So one of the dangers I think about a looped course, and I think most of the ones I've done has been looped, and I call it a danger because it's very comfortable to come home. And so if I get to come home, you know, six times before the last time, because the last time I'm done, but if I come home six times during this race, what are you going to do to prevent me from DNF? And like, why am I going to get knocked out of your race at some point because of a DNF? Because when I come home, I may want to stay.
Mm-hmm. So the start finish line, which is where, the personal aid stations are, it's basically one big old party there. I mean, I am blaring music for 34 straight hours. Mm-hmm. It is, we got music. We got some of the best aid stations. We have a lot of the good foods. I know, we're going to serve, all kinds of good stuff. I mean, a lot of races, you just have Cokes. Well, I have Coke, Dr. Pepper, Sprite, I had all kinds of stuff, cause I'm a big Dr. Pepper guy. But anyway, and then I can, so with the 100 miler, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead here, but the 100 miler starts at 7 a.m. on Friday. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the 100K starts at 7 p.m. on Friday night. So I wanted to do that because, say if you're running the 100 miler, all right, well, you start at 7 a.m., 12 hours into your race, when you start getting tired and it gets dark, I'm going to throw out 50 or 60 fresh bodies, 100K runners out there on the course with you. Mm-hmm. So not only, it's mentally, that should be, all right, man, we got some fresh blood out here. We got some fresh, now they're fast, but what I told the 100K runners is like, look, guys, there's over 100 milers out here who are 12 hours into the race. You need to help them up and get them through the night because you're fresh. You're going to come up on them and respect them. They're probably going to be walking, but cheer them on and keep them going. Keep them going through the night. All right. After that, so the 100K starts at 7 p.m. on Friday night. On Saturday morning at 7 a.m., 24 hours after the 100 milers start, that is when the 50K race starts. I did that on purpose too, because these 50K runners, they're gung ho. They're ready to go. All right. And we'll have 150K runners. Now we'll also have so 100 mile, there's going to be several 100 milers that are going to be finished by then because that's 24 hours into the race, but we're sending out 150K runners. And then I told them the same thing. It's like, look guys, these runners, these 100 milers have been out here for 24 hours all night long. So help them out, pep them up, keep them going, because you could be their lifesaver. Mm-hmm. And then at 9 a.m., which is 26 hours after the 100 mile starts, is when we're going to do the Mamba 25K, and we're going to throw out another 100 runners. And so it spread the runners out, and I've thought about, all races starting on Saturday morning. But then if I did that, then the 100 milers are left out there by themselves on Sunday. And they're just like, all right, well, just get through it, Whereas the way we set it up, the time-wise, all races end at 5 p.m. on Saturday. And I'm not a big Sunday racing guy. I feel like Sunday is time to go home and get ready for the work week. So that's why I did Friday and Saturday. I think most people are excited to get off work on Wednesday or Thursday and come to the race. Sunday mentally, it's just hard for me to run. I feel like if we end the race at Saturday at 5 p.m., then we all go get a shower and then let's go out Saturday night and celebrate if we're still awake. Yeah, I was like, let's go out Saturday night, and just let's talk about your race. So that's kind of how I planned everything out.
Well, one of the things I love about it is, so I've run a last man standing where I started on a Friday, and then there was 50 mile, 50K that started the next morning. So the energy is great. But the way that you just set that up is not only are you providing energy on the course for the ones that have been there, but you're giving the new runners a purpose mm-hmm. by giving them, the kind of the mission to go help and support and add yes. energy. So,
right.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I've been left alone out there on Sunday at a 100 mile race. And I'm like, man, I'm bored to death out here. I don't know if I can finish it. So I just kind of, I just like keep throwing fresh runners out there to help them out. And it worked out perfect. It worked out really good.
That's great. I love the energy and how you bring the energy, like you said, out on the course and everything.
Right.
Well, jumping back to the aid stations, if I am a participant or a runner in your aid station or in your event, excuse me, and I come up to your aid station, the main aid station particularly, what can I expect that you're going to feed me with?
Besides Dr. Pepper, we know that.
Yeah, Dr. Man, of course, you'll have. So Tailwind was a sponsor last year. So Tailwind was our main hydration. And of course, all your, you know, your water and your Cokes and things like that. So all your hydration is good on that. As far as nutrition, so we'll have anything. We were cooking all kinds of cheese quesadillas to broth to chicken broth, ramen noodles. Yeah, it got pretty cool at night. Mm-hmm. Man, I had all kinds of candy, just fast sugar things, little peanut butter jelly sandwiches. Pretty much, I even had cheese sticks. So we had a little toaster oven. And I went to our grocery store, and so I went to the frozen food section, you know, and I just started picking things out. I was like, if I was running this race, what would I want, you know? And I had, little cheese sticks, and we had everything. I mean, to granola bars, to, you know, peanuts or, you know, nuts or any kind of chocolate candy, to things like that. So we have pretty much all your main aid station food that you have in aid stations, plus a little extra. And I try to have a menu board. Mm-hmm. So when runners are coming up, they don't have to look around because they may not be all here in the head, but if they look at a menu board and they see something, oh, hey, I want to, you know, hook me up with a cheese quesadilla. Right. And so we will, we'll get it ready for them. So that's kind of what we had for them. So.
Did I read right? Is it a cupless race?
Yes. Last year we were not cupless, but this year we will be cupless. So if you all wanna, the runners will need to carry their own cup.
Okay. So topping off your Dr. Pepper, you have to have a vessel to your Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Okay. And also my understanding is there's a total of two aid stations. So you've got the main one you just talked about.
Yes.
And then you have another one on the course, but it sounds like the course may be laid out in a way that you actually run by that same aid station twice.
That is correct. So you start at mile zero and then you run about 3.8 miles and you hit the first aid station. And then once you cross there, then you're going to run about another 7 miles. And then you're going to come back to that same aid station, which is around 10.5. And then you're going to hit that aid station again. It's a pretty big aid station. And I got a great volunteer who runs that. That aid station was just a big party scene last year too. It was amazing. There was a lot of activity at that aid station. And so once they hit that aid station at mile 10.5, then they come back to the start finish line, which where we had our other aid station. So really you get, it's basically three aid stations in 14 miles. 14.3 miles.
So just for clarification, because at the beginning in the introduction, I said this was a looped course. And just mm-hmm. for somebody who may have heard that, they may be thinking this is an out and back.
No, it's not. So it is not an out and back. It is actually the trails are color coded. Mm-hmm. So you will basically run out on blue and white trail. And when you get to about mile 8.5, you will turn around and run on this yellow trail all the way back. Mm. So you never run, you only run on the same part of the trails, probably about a total of a half a mile in the 14.3 mile loop. You'll run about a half a mile where runners are going both ways. Mm-hmm. It's a loop. So it's not, there's no out and back or anything like that.
So at that 3.8 mile aid station, it's really like the two trails cross each other.
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. And that is correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yep. So to me, the big takeaway is be prepared for about a 7 mile stretch on mm-hmm. each loop.
Right.
And so you got to take care of yourself for that. But mentally I'm thinking like, okay, on the way out 3 miles, then I make that middle stretch and then it's essentially 3 miles right. back home. I know it's a little bit more than three, but still, yeah. I personally, I like that breaking up like that mentally, yeah. but some people that may drive crazy. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, you're not as big on that kind of thing.
We all have preferences, man. And that's the beauty of it.
So talk about registration. Registration is getting close. So if you're listening to this, April 27th is when this drops. We were talking before, you know, expect the way the numbers are going for it to sell out pretty close after that. You will have a wait list. Are there any prerequisites to sign up? Do you have to have previous race history? Talk to us about that.
No, you don't have to have any qualifications. Anybody can sign up for any distance they want. So like I said, we get a lot of first time 100 milers for this race and even the 100Kers. So no, whoever wants to run whichever distance they want, as long as we have spots, they are free to get in.
Fantastic. And then a follow-up question of that, and both being, you know, having families that typically crew us, I would imagine most loop courses are set up pretty well for crew access and that kind of thing.
Yes.
So, you know, if I'm coming and my wife wants to come or my kids want to come, what does crew access look like?
So I try to keep all the crew at the start finish line. What we do is I encourage all the crew and even the runners to bring their own canopy tents. And I set it up ahead of the finish line. So when runners are coming to the finish line, they have this huge crowd that's cheering them on. Mm-hmm. So they do that 7 times. All the runners are cheering on. So I try to get all the get everybody to set up their canopy tent and just basically create like a chute for mm-hmm. runners to run through when they cross the finish line. But here's another thing for like the 100 milers and the 100K, when they start on Friday, there's a lot of 50K and 25K runners who will come out on Friday night and hang out all night and just cheer on those runners. So it's one big party all night, Friday night. I got a big bonfire, you know, we got music going the whole night. So for the crew, I just encourage them to come and just hang out there. And you can access other parts of the trails, but they're not really easy to get to. And plus being 14.3 miles, you know, most runners will be out between 3 to 5 hours on that loop before they come back. So, and where the race is, the start line, it's right off a main road, and they have everything from fast food to a grocery store to a Walmart. So if a crew needed to go get something really quick, everything is basically within a mile away. I'm talking about sit down restaurants to a McDonald's to anything. So
yeah, because mine's gonna be waiting a long time while I'm out on my 14 mile loop.
Yeah,
but because I was actually about to ask you the question, if your aid station was available for crew members to eat from or to partake in, or if they were to go off site, because some races allow it, some do not, and I was just curious.
Yeah, we don't allow that. It's only for runners and pacers. Mm-hmm. Only because if a crew wanted to go eat something, I mean, literally they can drive out and they can find anything within a mile to mile mm-hmm. and a half. There's anything to eat out there. It's so many restaurants. So, and then actually this year, we didn't do it last year, but this year we're actually going to live track the 100 mile and 100K race. The crew will be able to know where the 100 miler or 100K runner is the whole entire time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do that last year. It just wasn't in the budget, but this year I wanted to do that for the runners. And I think it would be, it's just going to be a nice add on, for the crew to be able to know where their runner is the whole time.
To me, those are two big points is mm-hmm. that one, the crew can get access to things, you know, than races, obviously that's much more difficult, but two, also know where the runner is on the loop.
Right.
So that, you know, if you have time, because I know my wife would be like, gosh,
yep.
I'm hungry, but I don't want to go. What if he comes through, that kind of thing? Right. Something else that you mentioned, and it hit me when you talked about the bonfire. I also read, and I love this kind of thing, that there's RV park or that there's camping on site. So I would imagine also, you know, if you're somebody that loves that kind of thing, it sounds like you could do that, but that probably also adds to the energy the night before.
Yeah. So this is at Shelby Farms Park, which is where the trails are. And then the RV camping is at the Agri Center, which is about a half a mile away. So anybody can come in with their RV and camp out and things like that. And like I said, we encourage all runners to bring their own canopy tent, and if they want to sleep out there Friday night, they're more than welcome to. And then I'll have a big bonfire at a fire pit, and it depends on how, it's probably going to be pretty cool at night in November. I think last year it got into the upper 40s, so it was a little chilly. Perfect running weather. But if you're just staying around for a crew, it got kind of chilly. But yeah, if you have an RV or anything like that, we have a there's huge RV campground at the Agri Center. And all that's cool. On the Ultra sign-up registration page.
That's fantastic. Makes me want to run it, except I'm not a big fan of snakes. And this whole thing with snakes.
Oh, really they'll be hibernating by then.
It's November.
It's November. They'll be gone by then.
Mamba 100.
Yeah, that's, you know. Yeah. I don't think there's any mambas in Tennessee anyway.
True story. But to me, they're all a cobra.
That's right. Everything's a cobra.
Everything is a copperhead or a rattlesnake. It's
definitely venomous.
Right?
Black snake. Right. Nope. It's copperhead.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
All the time. Well, anything else?
See, a black snake's a copperhead?
Yeah. That's how it goes around here. Somebody says, or a cottonmouth.
There you go. We really know our snakes well. That's all I got. You have one more.
No, yeah. So look, man, I think this has been huge value add for everybody listening. I'm sure that this has been a ton of valuable information. But look, man, before we let you go, especially being the passionate guy that you are, you poured your kind of heart and soul into this race. What does it mean to you personally to have people come run the Mamba 100?
So personally, I mean, like I said, it's a pretty emotional experience. Every time I get a registration, I just like, what can I do for this runner to help them finish? Because I am there for every runner. And I promise you, I bet I slept 2 hours from Wednesday through Saturday last year. And I was just on adrenaline. Like, I was there for every runner when they finished. And I wanted to be there. I wanted to give them that buckle. Like, not only, you know, see, every time they come to they complete a 14.3 mile loop. I was there. I wanted to be there. And I was like, look, you know, this is your race. You're going to go out and do it. And I'm telling you, about every time I saw those 100 milers finish, they're tearing up, they're crying. And I'm tearing up too, you know, I'm like, man, cause I know what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And it's, you don't know until you actually do it yourself. And I love that for the runners. I want them to experience that. And if they DNF last year, I'm doing everything I can to get them to come back. I was like, no, you can do this. I even had someone said, do not change the 100K race because 100K is a night race. It starts at 7 at night. And to that throws a ton of people off because it's hard already. You start out and they said, I didn't practice night training. That's why I DNF'd. But do not change it because that taught me what I needed to do. So, you know, I get all kinds of comments like that. And just really trying to help each runner meet these personal goals that they have. And it really means the world to me to help them do that. And that's what I want them to know as a race director. And not only that, but hey, I'm also your friend. You can call, text me 24/7. If I can help you. So that's what I want to be as well. I want these runners to know that I'm also their friend and race director. So that's kind of how I do this race.
Okay. Yeah, I just like how personable it is. You can go ahead. Sorry, that's all I was going to say.
Well, I mean, community is huge to us. It's why we do this. And it's very clear that that's at the center of it for you is the people, the community. And so I would say for anybody listening, obviously check out the race if you're interested. If not, you've got your Mamba Trail Runners group. We'll put, you know, links down below and all that good stuff. But I just think this is such value add. And again, if it's your first time joining us, whether you're on YouTube or listening, we hope that you got so much out of this. Go check out just our regular podcast, the Ultra Running Guys podcast, where we talk to all kinds of awesome guests and other race directors. But look, man, we appreciate your time so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. Anytime, always available.
I was going to say, if anybody signs up and wins the money, I'll take a cut.
That's right.
Hey, I got a few spots left. I mean, I'd love to have you guys.
This is awesome. Thanks so much, James.
No problem. I appreciate you guys very much and what you guys do as well. It means a lot to people like me as a runner and as a race director. So I thank you guys as well.
Awesome.
Very welcome. Well, to everybody else, we'll talk soon. James, have a wonderful night and cut.
All right, listen, thank you so much. We recognize the fact that you are probably just hanging on just for a couple more minutes as you're finishing up your run. But really, we do want to give you a huge thank you for the constant support that you've shown us. We hear you and we feel you. And the best way for us to continue to grow is for you to share us with your friends. Tell them what you put in your ears when you're out there on a long run. Hit the like button, leave us a comment, leave a review, and give us some direct feedback on what you like about the show and also what you don't like. We're here to improve and do it for you.
And it really means the world. And listen, if you would like to support financially, you can connect with us on Patreon at patreon.com/theultrarunningguys, or you can use the support link in the show notes. Any and all support goes directly back into growing the show and helping us get better at what we love to do, which is to serve all of you. And with that, finish up that run, get cleaned up, and just show up.
Clean.
Clean.